reading from Psalm 131. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. My soul is like the weaned child that is with me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time on and forevermore. Amen.
Our gospel reading today comes from the gospel according to Mark. Last week we heard a very amazing healing story that Jesus did among the land of the Gentiles, a healing of a man filled with many demons. Today, we hear that Jesus has returned to the land of the Jews and again performs amazing healings with a focus on the faith of those who are healed. Listen again for God's word. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately, her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks.
I recently heard a pastor tell of someone she knows who struggled with depression when she was in college. The young woman had gotten very involved with a campus Christian group, and one of the leaders suggested that the reason she could not shake her depression was her lack of faith. He shamed her for taking the medication she needed, told her she wasn't praying hard enough, and tried to convince her that if her faith were stronger, she would be healed. Fortunately, the young woman did not accept his reasoning or indulge in self-blame. She recognized the danger of his views. But that theology is more common than we might like to think. Two people at our Bible study this week told of similar experiences. Both of them have struggled with chronic illness and pain of various kinds, and both have been told by well-meaning Christians that they just haven't prayed fervently enough or believed strongly enough for God to be able to heal them. These two also rejected that theology, thank God. But I believe the hurtful words have left a scar. When we had finished digging into this passage, I asked the Bible study group, "What would you like to hear the sermon address?" The first suggestion came immediately. Your faith has made you well. There were a couple of other suggestions as well, topics I might have preferred and found easier to address. But as I reflected on it, I kept being nudged back to that first one. What role does faith play in the healings we read about this morning? What role does faith play in healing today? What does it mean to say your faith has made you well? Two healing stories are intertwined in this morning's reading, and in both, Jesus emphasized the important role of faith in the healing. But in these two instances, we see that faith does not sit back and wait for things to happen. Both the leader of the synagogue, whose name was Jairus, and the woman with the constant flow of blood, whose name is not mentioned, both of these people were determined in going after the healing they wanted. Both desperately pushed through a crowd to get to Jesus. Jairus pushing through the crowd at the seashore until he could speak to Jesus. The woman pushing through the crowd that pressed around Jesus as he walked until she was able to touch his cloak. Both reached out to Jesus in eager expectation and hope that he could help them. Faith propelled them to act and to trust that their actions and Jesus' power together would bring about a miraculous healing. And it did. I don't ever want to be among those who say to someone who is suffering, if you just had more faith, you would get the healing you desire. Yet this passage challenges us with its witness to the important role that active, determined faith played in the healing of the woman and of Jairus' daughter. So what are we to do with this? When I told my daughter, Holly, the biochemistry major, that I was preaching on faith and healing this week, she sent me a podcast that she had recently heard about some research on the placebo effect. Perhaps you remember learning about experiments years ago where one group of patients received a pill that contained medicine for their condition, and another group received a sugar pill, or placebo. Neither group knew which pill they were receiving. The results showed that a significant portion of the ones who received the placebo improved. It was believed that they felt better because they expected to feel better. This became known as the placebo effect. Recently, researchers have done experiments showing that even when a person is told that they are being given a placebo, it makes them feel better, when medications did not. A woman who was featured in the podcast suffered for many years with irritable bowel syndrome, and it was only when she was on the placebo, knowing it was a placebo, that she experienced relief from her symptoms. They took her off the placebo, and her symptoms came back. They put her back on the placebo, and her symptoms went away. Some experiments have shown that taking a placebo with the expectation that it will make the person feel better actually changes the body's chemistry. It isn't just their imagination, it really is a change in their body. The researchers are intrigued and a bit perplexed, and their research is still in its early stages. But the whole thing points to the important role of hope and expectation in healing. Jesus seems to have known this too. He wasn't aware of the woman in the crowd until after the moment that the healing power surged from his body and instantly stopped her bleeding. When he called her out, and she came trembling before him to confess that she had touched him, he said with gentleness and admiration, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." He recognized her action, her hope, her expectation that he could heal her. Likewise, when the people came from Jairus' household to tell him that his daughter had died, before Jairus could even react, Jesus turned to him, saying, "Do not fear, only believe." It was a reminder to continue to trust, to hope in God's healing power. Life is way too complicated to chalk up all healing to faith. We all know people of deep faith who hope and long for healing for themselves or for someone they love. They have sought all kinds of medical care. They have prayed fervently, and others have prayed for them, but the relief they long for has been elusive. They continue to deal with terrible pain or debilitating injury or a dire prognosis. It is a struggle to understand why some people must endure so much illness and hardship in this life. Yet even if the healing we long for does not happen, hope and positive expectation are important to making us or our loved ones well. Trust that God loves you and is working for good in your life, even through pain and struggle. Let yourself experience the care of others in a loving community, such as this one. Open your eyes to the signs of hope and joy in your life and in the world around you. Choosing joy and gratitude and hope can have powerful effects in healing and overall well-being. I have a dear friend, Diantha, who is 80 years old and was recently diagnosed with an incurable cancer. She expects that she will not live to see the end of this year. She lives in St. Paul, Minnesota, and I wanted to go visit her, but she doesn't feel well enough to have visitors. So now we talk on the phone much more frequently than we did before. That in itself is a gift. The hardest thing for Diantha about knowing that she is dying is that she won't be able to see her 6-year-old and 19-month-old grandsons grow up. So she is cherishing each day, each phone call, each visit with those little guys. Recently, 6-year-old Max was over for a visit with his dad. While Diantha's son, Liam, cleaned up some dishes in the sink, Max pulled out a pile of books from the shelf and crawled up into bed with Diantha to cuddle. He hadn't done that in a long time, Diantha told me. And I could hear in her voice how much that had meant. When Liam finished the dishes, he was tired and ready to go home. But he saw the two of them cuddled up together and said to Max, "I see you and Grandma are reading. I'll give you a few more minutes to enjoy together." Diantha is not going to be cured of her illness. But her faith and hope in God, her openness to loving and being loved, and her expectation that each day holds some good gift from God will help her experience healing even in the midst of her illness. And in that way, her faith
will make her well.